It's showtime.
Carl, you, how many cuts did you bring today, and what are they of? Is it the five, the Force Five, or whatever the, what's it called?
Strike Force Five dropped their second episode. Everyone's talking about this, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, John Oliver, and Seth Meyers, because they are trying to raise money for their writing staffs. Well, actually, not just the writing staffs, but everyone who works on their shows, since the shows are shut down during the strike right now.
I want to ask a question right off the bat. Who is winning this strike? First of all, and second question, is anyone really missing the writers? Is anybody going, oh my God, there's nothing to watch?
Well, not right now. I mean, they loaded up on content.
Honestly, no one was watching these shows anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if not all of these guys have a show to go back to.
Oh, you're talking about talk shows. Yeah, no one's missing the talk shows, no.
No, no one is.
Yeah, there's their numbers, I know Kimmel's under a million. Greg Gutfeld has the highest ratings of the TV talk shows, and he's the only one who, wait, why is he not in the Strike Force 5? What's up with that?
Is he on? Is he still on, or is that part of the strike?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know either.
I'm not a big Greg Gutfeld fan. I just know that he is one of the major, he's the winningest talk show host at night. So it's, you would think he would be in the group, but then again, you would think he would not be in the group. So, oh well. But
wow,
I forget there is a strike going on because I'm never lacking for content. I'm watching either true crime. I'm watching stuff on my phone. I'm watching stuff on Netflix. I just really haven't missed it yet.
Yeah, well, the studios, what they're trying to do is they're trying to suffocate out. Like, they're ready to keep this going for the long term. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that they're the ones who are going to win in all of this, because we're going to find out that we don't need these writers and actors as much as the writers and actors think that we do. Because there's tons of content. People are creating content all the time. We're doing it right now. Look at us.
No, I got to say, Carl, your show, I always watch your show. That's like 3 hours a week of content. Sometimes it's even more than that. And that's stuff that used to be occupied doing other stuff. And there's other podcasts I'm watching. And I'm watching shitty podcasts to try to find something for September the 15th when we're at the Magic Bag.
Very good. Yes. We're going to be live at the Magic Bag September 15th. I'm really looking forward to that, guys.
No, I am too. It's going to be a blowout. And what time is the meet and greet, by the way? Did you figure that out?
Damn it. I got to find that out for us, because I thought the show started at 8, and then I saw the website said doors at 8, so I got to find out what the schedule is for the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, please let me know, because I got to let Ted know.
Right, and I don't want it to go too late, because I know what people do when they get out of work on a Friday. They start drinking. And I don't need people who are 5 hours into drinking coming to the show, so
they're really loud and really obnoxious. But anyway, let's get to Strike Force 5.
Okay, so they dropped their second episode. Now, I reviewed the first episode. I did a special episode with Chrissy Mayer this past weekend, and we reviewed that. The second episode just dropped, and there's some speculation, including my buddy Christian Blatt, that maybe they recorded this episode immediately after recording the first one, because a lot of times what these guys do is they go, okay, let's get like five episodes out of the way, and then we'll put them out over a certain amount of time. And then, because they're all busy guys, I'm sure they have things to do. They're not going to be getting together for a Zoom call, whatever it is, weekly or daily, whatever the cadence is.
Even though they have nothing to do now, which I could not believe that Colbert compared it to a colonoscopy, not doing the show, really?
Yeah, he said it was similar to saying a colonoscopy is like taking a nap.
Oh, please.
Oh, being on strike, being a vacation. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of douchey things that are said, but I think the thing I want to highlight first is just how bad these guys are at comedy. Because here you have these five comedians, some of who I used to have respect for. And obviously they have big writing staffs and they're still not funny. These shows are unwatchable. But get these five together and let them start riffing. My track number 9 really sums up when these guys just start tagging each other's jokes.
Well, he assembled it himself with an Allen key.
All right, guys. Okay, you proved yourself to be British, because no one says Allen key in the United States.
Really?
It's an Allen wrench. It's an Allen wrench.
It's not a wrench.
It's an Allen wrench.
Allen key was a very famous British comedian.
Oh, okay. That must be huge and large.
He had a show on MSNBC. Allen key is
Francis Scott Wrench wrote God Save the Queen. Right?
That's great. She's not a human being.
Wrench and Peel, of course, the comedy duo.
Whew. Man.
Pretty good stuff, huh?
Yeah.
There's too many of them. There's just too many of them.
The one thing I picked up on, especially from the first episode, was that Jimmy Fallon does not want to be there. I have some examples of that in this one as well. And John Oliver also does not really talk a lot. It's mostly Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers. So they're going to have this conversation. We're going to play track number 10. And this is one of those things where this is, should be a phone conversation. If they want to talk to each other about each other's shows and what they do and how they do it, great. This is not a show people should be listening to.
Billy Eichner said it was, because Billy Eichner's a tall gentleman. And he said he's never looked stupider on TV than when he sat in one of our tiny chairs.
The chairs, a lot of thought goes into the chairs that the audience at home, you know, doesn't, right. They don't care. Why should they care? But like how a woman sits in a chair as opposed to a man sits in a chair. And like, you have to have the chairs angled in a certain way. Like if someone's wearing a skirt, like there's, or like, are you upstaging the guest on the angle of their chair?
We had a fake chair backstage so that guests can sit in it and feel what it would feel like and what it looks like.
Really?
Because some people wear outfits that are beautiful and standing up, but then sitting down, it's a disaster. Like, especially if it's a skirt or, you know, something like that. And you go, so you understand this is what it's going to look like when you sit down.
Don't you love finding out a little something, a little trick that somebody else has figured out as far as doing this dumb job that we all have with all the same elements? And you're like, oh, well, that's why didn't we think of that before?
You know, Carl, I couldn't figure out why this show sounded flat to me. And you pretty much hit it on the head. These are people who are supposed to be really funny and they're without their staffs. They can't even bother us be troubled with video. Right. I mean, they're just giving us nothing.
It doesn't sound great either because they're all using various equipment. I don't know who's producing this, if they're all just doing it on their own. It seems like it's just a Zoom meeting that they're converting to an MP3.
Yeah, it's pretty much phoned in.
Well, right. I mean, listen to that conversation. They're literally talking about, you know, guys, the guests have to sit down in the chair. And so there's different ways that we try to figure out the chair stuff. They're not even trying to be funny. They're just having this conversation. You're just like, okay, you guys have this conversation on your own time. But then Stephen Colbert comes in. And he's got a fascinating story about chairs, my track number 11 on his show.
We have extra chairs backstage that are larger than the standard chairs. And if we have a larger guest, we switch them out and put in, they're to scale with each other so you can't tell. But just to make people comfortable, we have chairs. Like if Shaq's on, the bigger chairs are out there.
What sucks is, you know, they have better stories.
No way.
Because I will say, you know, I didn't listen to the new one, but I listened to the first one. It was better than I thought it was going to be. I know you disagree with me, both you guys. But I thought the stuff about the magic hour, like those are really good stories that Colbert and Kimmel told. They were both up for that job and neither of them wanted to take it because they knew the magic hour was going to be a fucking terrible disaster as it was. Like, isn't that the kind of stuff people want to hear from these people? Not their chairs.
For every 60 minutes of podcasting on this show so far, there's about 2.5 minutes that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the problem is because they're all so guarded. The problem with these guys is first they think that being a celebrity and talking to celebrities is somehow fascinating to everyone. It's not. We're over it. We don't care. We see them on Instagram every day. They're boring people. We don't care.
Well, that's why they screen their guests for, you know, 20, 30 minutes trying to make sure we get that one good story and ask those three really good questions so it's a great appearance. But they're not doing any of that kind of prep themselves.
No. In fact, they go off on this conversation about 1-900-COLLECT. And Jimmy Kimmel's going, do you guys remember the 1-900-COLLECT? You would call it, and then you would use that to make collect calls. So Jimmy Fallon remembers he used to use 1-900-COLLECT when he was out in L.A., and he was trying to make it as a stand-up, and he's at the improv, and he uses it to call his mom. My track number 4, he does a hilarious Jimmy Fallon's mom impression. He's going to nail it here. You guys are all going
to
be like, wow.
And I go there, and who walks in but Jerry Seinfeld to the improv? And I go, oh, my God, this is peak Seinfeld. And I go, I had to call. So I went to a payphone and called 1-900-COLLECT to call my mom. And I go, Jerry Seinfeld just walked in the improv. He's like, oh, my God, Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, my God. Is he going to do stand? You know, I love it. And I go, she's like, she thought like that was me making it in the business, you know, that I was in the club that Jerry was in.
He is by far the weakest link.
Also, that story's so dumb because it's he called her.
Yeah.
He's the one who was excited about it. And he's like, and my dumb mom thinks that I made it big just because I'm hanging out with Jerry Seinfeld. I was like, no, you're the one who's excited about it enough to call her. And then let's figure out if we can make the story of him going up after Jerry Seinfeld at the Improv boring as hell. My track number five here.
And I, of course, did impressions at the time. That was my act.
Yeah.
I started my act with I just changed the order and did Jerry like going like, you know, well, yeah, exam like a what's the deal or something like that. And I'm like, and it worked. And so I was happy. I actually followed Jerry Seinfeld, and it was like, whew, I was sweating bullets, but I was like, oh, it was a legendary night for me. Like,
oh my God. How relatable.
Whew. Well, he's trying to be modest, and that's the problem here. So he doesn't actually say what he did. He could have gone and done the impression right there.
Sure.
Said, this is what worked. This is, you know, something like that. And then he just goes, so I did an impression. People liked it, and it was pretty funny. Great. Great anecdote. Good stuff.
Wow.
Carl, don't mean to get too far off course here, but when you were doing the show with Chrissy Mayer and who's the third person?
Ryan Kinnell from RK Outpost.
Okay, I just didn't want to leave him out. But Chrissy kept referencing that that Stephen Colbert seems to like younger women, and I wasn't sure I knew what the reference, the basis of it is.
Yeah, that was weird. She kept trying to, and I think I eventually pushed back on her. She kept trying to say something about like Stephen Colbert being a pedophile or something. From what I know of Stephen Colbert, I don't know a lot about the guy, but I've heard him on Stern and some different things. He seems like a pretty squeaky clean guy, like a family guy.
Yeah, if anything, he loves his wife too much.
Yeah,
like he talks about her too much.
That's what I thought. That's why I didn't understand what was going on. So
he's super Catholic, yeah.
I guess I will remain mystified until Chrissy explains.
Well, so I did this show with two people who are pretty far right of center. Chris and Ryan. And the thing that I just find fascinating about the political views now is if you get too far right, everyone is a pedophile. And if you get too far left, everyone's a Nazi. Like, not a lot of Nazis or pedophiles, just you know. Weird thing that's happening.
That's funny.
So.
Yeah, that was, I mean, she reiterated the joke quite a few times, so it was becoming very apparent what she was saying. I just didn't know what the basis was, so. A little confusing.
It must be a thing. I haven't heard about it, but maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, I'll Google it. I'll
speaking
find
of Stephen Colbert, so now they're telling these stories about, hey, I saw Seinfeld when I was younger, and Stephen Colbert goes, well, that's nothing. I saw Robin Williams pop into Second City.
Oh, boy.
And so they're doing an improv show, and he's got an anecdote about how funny Robin Williams was up on stage.
But he's not funny.
My track number six.
I wasn't on stage, but Robin stopped in. One night, that was pretty great. Somebody asked for a menu, and of course, there are no props. It's all just object work.
It's and paper, yeah.
And he reached over and picked up one of the bent wood chairs and handed it to the person as the menu. And it couldn't have been more wonderful. And of course, they just kind of rolled with it and just looked at like the cane work on the bottom of the bent wood chair, going, "All right, this is very nice."
Guess you got to be there.
Oh boy!
people
are never going to stop insisting that Robin Williams is brilliantly funny, are they?
Nope. Like, not everything he did was great. The problem with Robin Williams, obviously, is that he swung at everything.
Yeah, his batting average was very low, in my opinion. Yes.
Remember what Jack Black said when he was in studio?
Yeah.
About him.
Yeah, like, repeat it.
He just was like, everybody, you know, Robin Williams, he's so quick, and he's got this joke and that joke. He goes, it's not funny, but it's amazing how quick it is, but none of it's funny. I'm like, wow, so there's a celebrity calling out another comedian. That's great. Which is something none of these five would do. And if anything, I was a little disappointed in the first one. They started, first off, they have to kiss Randy Gerber and
Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, Cindy Crawford and is it Clooney that owns the because they're the ones sponsoring it. And Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. So it's like there's so much advertising and it doesn't feel like it's for products. It's feel like it's for celebrities,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird.
Okay. So the second episode, I heard ads for Nissan, United Airlines, Pepsi, of course, Casamigos, Mint Mobile. So you have all these huge advertisers on a show that really hasn't existed until last week. And listen to the ad read. My track number two for Pepsi on this is insane.
So bad.
And they're even going to open up the Pepsi 125 Diner here in New York City. And I heard that they're going to serve the infamous Crystal Pepsi. They're going to bring it back for this diner. So if you've never tried Crystal Pepsi or if you don't remember what that was, it was a clear Pepsi. If you haven't tried it, it tastes like Pepsi. You can reserve your spot at PepsiDiner.com.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what a selling point. Oh, and they're going to have new Coke there, too. Another thing no one liked and no one wanted. Great.
Pepsi.
I think it's funny that that's a selling point. Crystal Pepsi, which was a huge
failure.
Flop.
It's a major, major failure.
Carl, I'm looking up Strike Force 5 on Listen Notes, which is one way that all podcasts are rated. They assign a number to you based on your audience. And I'll just say this. Strike Force 5 has a smaller number than you have for who are these podcasts.
Wow. I don't have as many episodes out, but.
No, this is their first two shows. Generally, you have a higher number when you're brand new. But
yeah,
I don't think a lot of people are listening to this.
Mm. Except for... Wait.
From the fine people of Pepsi Cola, the people who put the ah in cola.
See?
Hey, Ted. Yeah. Nice job.
Ted was a big Pepsi guy. He was. He still is.
He took a check Pepsi. From them.
He took a, I think he would take a check from
you. You know what, guys? I think it's going to catch on. It's going to get word of mouth. People are going to be listening to it because there's really funny anecdotes and jokes. My track number 7, they're talking about Jimmy Kimmel and Mr. T on his show. And Mr. T, I guess, isn't the tallest guy in the world. So they riff on that.
Oh, boy.
Because Mr. T's not that tall, right?
He's not that tall, and he's a good deal older, I think.
I thought the T stood for tall.
The T stands for Tall? No, not Mr. Tall. And they were about to fight.
I know B to the T is a guy named Bud who's tall.
No. That's you're confusing the story, Seth. This is totally wrong. But they almost fought on the show.
God.
Wow. So,
let him tell his story.
Right. Thank you, Mark, because I was getting frustrated too. I'm like, he's just trying to get out a quick story. And they keep trying to tag things. Now, what you heard there, aside from the guy trying to say T stands for tall twice for no reason, is there was a callback that Seth Meyers tried to do that made no sense. So they're just like, no, can I just tell you this quick story about this stupid thing that happened? So then
it's funny in listening to it. It's like my opinion of Fallon went way down. I mean, it was already pretty low, but it was even worse. My opinion of John Oliver was flat because he doesn't do anything on this. Opinion of Seth Meyers went way down because he just seemed to be annoying, and Colbert was Colbert, but I actually kind of liked Kimmel running it. It's almost like he's the dean of these guys. He had a few one-liners. I felt like if it was just him and one other guy or him just doing a podcast, it'd be so much better.
Well, you know, Jimmy can be funny with Howard. I've heard Jimmy do some great shows with Howard.
Yeah. Well, he's a radio guy too, so I think he gets the medium more than the other four.
Yeah, I just think he has a good feel for situational comedy, if nothing else. Yeah. I mean, his jokes are probably written for him, but he can be a real fun guy to have on a show. And with Howard, I think it works very well sometimes. I haven't heard him in a long time, but just saying.
All right, well, Jimmy Kimmel says that when he first started his late night show, it wasn't very good. This is my track number 8.
Hmm. Listen, I know we all had a hard time launching our shows. We all, you know, there are struggles, but there's no show that was worse, at least on this podcast, than mine for the first like 8 to 11 years. I mean, it was absolutely a ridiculous show.
Totally disagree. Stephen Colbert's show was unwatchable. Yeah. Nobody watched it. It was the worst show. Stephen Colbert going from the Colbert Report that everyone loved to the Stephen Colbert show was the worst thing ever. No one liked that.
Well, it was totally different from what anybody expected.
I liked Kimmel pretty early on. I mean, it was his 8 to 11 years. I thought that was the punchline. But honestly, Jimmy Fallon was horrible as a host at the beginning.
Still
he didn't
is.
Know what he was doing. Yeah, still
Jimmy
is pretty
Fallon's
bad.
Terrible. Okay, so Mark, you said you don't like Jimmy Fallon at all. I like Jimmy Fallon the best out of all these guys.
Really?
I'll tell you
okay.
I'll tell you why. Because Jimmy Fallon, all he wants to do is get loaded and sing karaoke. He just wants to go out and party. He doesn't want to be there. And what I like about him is that he's so into the booze that he has forgotten things he's done on his own show. Now, he did a bit with Robert De Niro. You would think that'd be pretty memorable.
That was his first interview. His first interview was with Robert De Niro.
First interview, Robert De Niro. Stephen Colbert remembers it, but Jimmy does not. My track number 12, this is fascinating. Because you could tell that Jimmy Fallon's either trying to play along that he does remember, or maybe he's trying to get his brain to catch up to things. along, and then they notice that he has no idea what he's talking about.
Because I love the space train sketch so much because he's also uncomfortable in the space train sketch.
We asked him to be in a sketch called Space Train.
Tell them what Space Train was, Jimmy.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, so you're interviewing one of the most reticent
talk show guests. And the whole time you also know in the back of your head that the next thing you're doing with them is Space Train.
I kind of remember what Space Train was. I
think it was in the middle of the interview. Didn't you say, like, we worked on our project together? Wasn't it one of those things? Like, and then you threw a clip of this project you had done together.
And it was a train that went to space or something?
It's a train that goes to space. And you guys are wearing, there's only so much track, so it doesn't go very far to space. And there's like a murder on the space train, but it all takes place on the space train.
Suits? Like, oh, sort of like tinfoil.
And he had a little conductor's hat, like a silver conductor's hat on.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh,
I love that Steven remembers Jimmy's show better than Jimmy does.
Wow. I have heard a lot of stories about him getting drunk in bars till the wee hours of the night. And you hear him enough that, I mean, where there's smoke, there has to be fire in a lot of these cases. And then he comes into work with casts and things wrapped around his fingers and weird stuff, weird injuries that are not explained very well.
And then he's the host of The Tonight Show, has Robert De Niro on, and does not remember the bit at all. How is that possible? The whole bit with De Niro doesn't remember any of it. It's pretty impressive. So this is the best part, because near the end of the show, Jimmy Fallon has had enough, and he wants to get off the show and end it. So he figures out a way to do that by track number 13.
I just got a text from a member of Strike Force 5.
Is that the best way to do it?
I just got a text from a member of Strike Force 5, and it's from Jimmy Fallon under the code name Steve Allen. It says, I have to go. And I assume everyone got this at the same time. I'm the only one who wants to be honest with our audience. Yep.
But I didn't know, we're talking about show business and all this stuff, but it was going a little long.
So there's a limit. There's a limit to how much you want to help the staff, is what you're saying.
My face is so red. I have no, where I am, there's no air conditioning or anything. It is so hot where I am.
What?
Why wouldn't he just say that on the show?
Where where is Jimmy Fallon? There's no air conditioning.
That's a good question. He should be at his house. You would think they'd be AC.
Yeah, maybe he's in the unair-conditioned part of the bar, waiting to go back to drinking.
Yeah, he obviously just wants to get the hell out of there and have some fun. And I love the fact that he did a group text. He'd be like, can we add this thing now? Because I'll peel back the curtain a little bit here. I have definitely texted with Mark Fellhauer during this show as we're doing the show, just to like be on the sly about things. But they didn't let him get away with it.
That's why I like it when people bust their balls. So I'm glad he called them out on it. Just talk about it.
Well, then Jimmy Fallon doubles down my track number 14 here.
Look, I got things to do. I can't talk for hours. 45 to an hour, that's all people want. You know, they didn't even want any more of this.
He's right.
God, the audience is sick of us. Can we just add this thing now? This is ridiculous.
Why does it sound like shit? Why does this mic sound so bad, like you were saying at the top?
Just awful. I mean, well, maybe there's the facilities in the storage room at the bar that's un-air-conditioned.
He's on his phone. Maybe he's on his phone at the bar.
But how sad when you have five talk show hosts of a really revered part of evening entertainment, and he doesn't believe that more than 45 minutes has any value at all? That's pathetic.
He's sick of it. And here's the thing that I pointed out when I listened to the first episode. It's directionless. What they need to do is they need to have something to talk about. There's a lot of things these guys could be talking about that would be interesting. And instead, they're just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And it's working. You
could talk about what's your highest rated show ever? What's your lowest rated show ever? Who's your, 10 favorite guests? Whatever. They could know ahead of time so they could actually make notes and go into it with some preparation.
Yeah. Is if they ripped on each other and talked about what parts of each other's show sucked. That would be a segment. Yeah.
But like I was saying, the magic show stuff, like those old stories when they weren't these huge talk show hosts, were kind of interesting. The fact that two of them turned down that gig and had no idea that the other person was even asked to be the sidekick to Magic was funny.
Well, this show had some more star power than episode number one. My track number three, we get John Hamm reading the intro for us.
Ooh.
Five men with identical, non-transferable, narrow skills and a ton of free time on their hands now unite. Their primary mission? To funnel money to their staffs. Their secondary mission? Attention. Will their efforts be worth more than the sum of their parts, or will they turn on each other? Which, let's be honest, would probably make for a better podcast. This is Strike Force 5.
That's all I was thinking. I'm like, oh, John Hamm's right. This would be great if they just turned on each other and started fighting.
Why is John Hamm doing a voice that's worse than if he was talking like John Hamm?
Good question.
And why is his quality suck too?
Wow, the sound is terrible. That's really, I mean, that's really the first rule of podcasting is don't sound like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't we learn this during the pandemic when all of a sudden celebrities started to try to sing Imagine and together or, you know, whatever else they were doing? Like, we just realized, like, oh, these people are idiots. They don't know how to do anything.
But talk show hosts should not have that problem.
Can they put a moratorium, too, on talking about that it's paying for their staffs? I mean, we know why this thing exists, but they talked about it nonstop.
Well, right, because they're trying to that's the other thing, too, the first episode where Jimmy Kimmel slips up and says, people are listening to this broadcast. He goes, well, not that this is a broadcast, because they don't want to be seen as scabs, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it is a broadcast. And that's the thing that I thought was so funny about this show is that you have these guys who have these jobs that are pretty much obsolete at this point, but they don't realize it. They think that we need their style of entertainment, and we don't. Mm-hmm. And so they're going on there, and they're going like, well, you know, we're slumming it here with this podcast. Like, well, more people listen to podcasts than watch your dumb shows by millions and millions.
Wouldn't it be better if they all met at one place and did this too? Yeah. Would it sound a little better and be a little more engaging?
Or less of them.
And show a little more effort even? I mean, this sounds like the most effortless phoned-in piece of shit. Really. It does.
How do you really feel, Drew?
It's pretty bad.
Well, it's funny too, in that first one, Kimmel starts telling the story about the last strike because he was around then and how they didn't like each other because that was Conan, Letterman, Leno, and him, and they didn't really get along. And I'm like, there's got to be so many stories there. And I can't remember which one of the other four just sidetracked it and started going off because he was talking about how Letterman and Ferguson came back first because of the structure of Worldwide Pants owning the show. And Letterman's like, give them whatever they want. We want to go back on the air. It's like, I felt like he had so much more to say about that, and it just got layweight. It just was on to the next stupid thing.
Yeah,
I hold them. Because,
you know, he's got stories. Is my point?
They're all playing it very safe, and you can tell.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
You hit the nail on the head there. Yeah,
I hold all of those guys on a certain pedestal because of the jobs they hold, but the pedestal is just starting to really crumble. I mean, listening to this just makes me think less of them, which is a disaster for them because already we know their audience is shrinking. I mean, you don't want this to image you in a worse way than you're already imaged, for Christ's sake.
I know. I feel like you need a palate cleanser, Drew. And I
yes,
have
please.
Just that. A brand new show just launched on August 22nd. And my track number 15, this is how it starts. This is how they introduce the show.
Welcome to the very first episode of The Handsome Pod, a.k.a. Handsome.
That's right.
It's Fortune Feimster, and I am joined by my amazing co-host,
Tig Notaro.
I'm May.
Oh, man.
And we are feeling very confident today.
Yeah. I felt at ease there, Fortune. Your radio hosting skills that was smooth.
You know, I was trying to give us a little welcome to the show, everybody. It's going to be a great time. Let's get your panties on and have a good show.
Get your panties on.
Get your panties on.
Yeah, get your panties on.
Everyone's listening naked.
They might be.
Oh, yeah, now Drew, this is good stuff, right?
It's just great.
Nick Notaro, Mae Martin, and Fortune Feimster have teamed up to do a show called Handsome. And
okay, why is it called Handsome?
Because they're all such handsome people.
I see.
No. Yeah. All three of them wear men's clothes.
Are they all lesbian?
Mae Martin is non-binary. I don't know.
I know Fortune's a lesbian.
Oh, Tig is definitely a lesbian.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think May have transitioned. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Oh, is that right?
Wow.
I really want to hear all three of them talk about their panties.
Well, good news because
oh, great.
Hilarious panty talk continues out of my track 16 here.
I just say underwear.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course you do.
What about you, May?
I'm with you. Panties, I wouldn't. I mean, Okay, maybe if I was in...
One way says it, panties.
Is that how I said it?
Pantaloons. Wait, I kind of like it when you say it like that, panties.
Did I say panties?
It kind of...
Well, now we'll have to rewind and go back.
Okay. No, it feels a little put on. But
yeah, what you guys say panties.
Panties. And May says panties.
Panties. Like the Phantom of the Opera or something.
Huh? Ooh, I hate the word panties, first of all. But second of all, this is a major easy laugh factory here. Holy shit.
These are all comedians. These are professional comedians. I feel like Brandon is not enjoying this as much as he should be.
I'm not. I'm not enjoying it whatsoever.
He's got his face in his hands. He can't take it at all. Am I ruining your day today, Brandon? What's going on over there, buddy?
This is not a podcast that I would listen to. Thankfully, you are here to break it down so I don't have
this
to.
This is not a podcast anybody would listen to.
And plus, no. I just quickly clicked on their page for the show notes purposes. And what do I see? Hey, special guest Sarah Silverman.
Oh!
Sarah Silverman asks about personal hygiene is the headline.
Spoiler.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Carl.
No, it's okay. I have to tell you guys that this conversation about panties that we just heard, where they're saying panties and panties and underwear, goes on for 4.5 minutes.
Woo. Well, thanks.
Could you not?
Thanks for sparing us. No, that word really troubles me. I don't know why, but
yeah,
then hearing them say it sounds even worse.
What do you want us to call it? Panties?
Ugh. No.
So,
I was just going off there.
These are supposed to be comedians. Thank now, you, my track 17, there's a hilarious idea for a show format. I think you guys are.
You know what we should have done with this podcast is have people send in math equations and see if we could solve them.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God, that would be in a big trouble with me.
Just sitting for hours, all of us silent.
That would be more entertaining.
Mm. And
could
it would
you
probably,
imagine?
Yeah. Oh. It would probably still be ranked in the top 250. I'm not kidding. Tig Notaro's shows do really well, and it just blows my mind. It's like, there must be some alternate universe in which this is really funny, but it's not the universe I'm in.
No, I don't understand how any of this is entertaining at all. So, as you mentioned, Brandon, Sarah Silverman, I see that, and I light up, because she is so funny. I can't get enough of Sarah Silverman. And what's crazy is that they booked the show. Like, you guys just pulled it up on the screen there. Mm-hmm. It showed like Sarah Silverman's the guest. So I'm sitting there listening, like, when does Sarah come on? It turns out they use these names of celebrities, but all they do is have them pre-record a question.
Oh,
play
come
a
on.
Question, and then the rest of the show is them just responding to that. So this is my track number 18 here.
So I asked Sarah, do you have a question for us? And it turns out Sarah did.
Also, she didn't even hesitate with what the question, she knew right away. She was like, oh yeah, I do. I want to know this. And this is, yeah.
Cause I was like, you can be serious. You can be silly. She's like, I got it. I was like, oh, okay. So here we go.
Hi, handsome. It's your old pal, Sarah Silverman. I have a question and I'd like to hear you guys discuss it. How do you each wash your asshole and vagina, just under the whole undercarriage area? Thanks.
I've been dying for someone to ask this question so that I can finally find out how you guys wash your assholes.
I, truth be told, have never had anyone ask me this.
Yeah, because it's not a real question. Yeah, it's, idiot.
That's really, I don't know. That's, I'd call that low hanging fruit.
No one talks to Fortune about her asshole. You don't say.
Unless she clogs the toilet, man. Look at that.
All right, let's find
out. And they
out.
Clean it in the shower, I bet. Right? Yeah.
Fortune
big deal.
Is going to gonna address this here.
Oh, great.
Great job, Sarah.
You say I don't always think about that hole.
Yeah, like I'm externally grazing the area.
The dirtiest hole, it doesn't cross your mind while you're in a shower or tub.
I mean,
to clean yourself.
Clean it, but I don't think that I'm like thinking like it's asshole time.
Yes.
Whew.
Pretty good stuff.
Well, Sarah, she knew her target audience, didn't she? Because they love it.
They're able to riff on this question for a while because it's really funny washing your asshole. Now, May, unfortunately, did something crazy, something I would never do. May decided to actually do some research and show up prepared for her podcast. Although, she takes a little different approach than I would have my track 20 here.
Speaking of, I did Google like weird bathing techniques. And look, we should get back to our personal assholes. But I read that in 19th century Germany, they used to bathe in horse broth. They'd boil down a horse and then bathe in the broth.
I'm vegan. Let's not all forget this.
Yeah, you would have been in big trouble. And in ancient Greece, crocodile dung bath apparently is very toning for the skin.
Well, and May, did you Google this because of this question that Sarah submitted, or because you were just looking for a freaky new way to get your undercarriage clean?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I brought the show to a screeching halt.
No. You didn't. They did.
It's really weird hearing them say undercarriage, and they're really referring to themselves.
Who doesn't love some fun facts, though? Am I right? Brandon, I feel like you love a fun fact here and there, right?
Oh, yeah, Brandon.
By the way, I loved, let's not forget I'm vegetarian. Oh, don't bring the room down or anything.
I think that was trying to be a joke.
Was she trying to make a joke? I don't think she was. I think she was serious.
Yeah, I can't bathe in horse broth because I'm vegan. Well, also because it's gross.
Yeah, it's not a thing. Okay. You're not in Germany 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, right. So that's part of it, too, for sure. I don't know that research is the right thing for this show, but it's their first episode. Maybe May will figure it out.
Oh, you're so kind.
And I kept calling May her and she. I apologize. They, them. I don't know.
Oh, that's okay, Carl.
I'm sure we're going to see a Dax Shepard question being asked in future episodes.
Oh, yeah, more than likely. No, they'll probably guest on his show, too.
I think all celebrities should just ask them about their assholes. That should be the show.
That would be really funny if it was the same question asked in every week. That would be really fucking funny.
They could put something different in their asshole every week. I mean, that would be. I think it'd be better than what I just heard. Just saying.
I don't know about that.
I didn't know you liked it so much.
No, I just don't want to hear about their assholes anymore.
Imagine a podcast called Fortune Famester's Asshole.
Oh,
that would get some downloads.
We just listen to it. You know, it's funny. I searched her name and her Wikipedia page popped up, and she's got a whole list of her doing podcasts. Like, is that her thing? She just shows up on other people's podcasts?
Who, Tig?
No, Fortune.
Oh.
Like, she's on
stand up. I've seen her do stand up.
Yeah, and she's a writer, but I mean, there's just so many podcasts that she's been on. It's just, I don't know. I was surprised by that.
Is she good, or does she just get all these positions because of...
I don't know. I mean, she's on Rogan's. She did Rogan's show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Justin Long. Comedy Bang Bang, which is a big one.
I would think Joe Rogan... Does Joe Rogan only have people on if they're truly entertaining? I would expect him to only have people on for that reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like I said, I saw Fortune do stand-up. It was part of... It was that stand-up tour that Bert Kreischer does at minor league ballparks. They came to Rochester. On there, and everyone was telling me, David Tell was on, which is why I went. Mm-hmm. But there were a few good people on there. Big Jay Oakerson. So everyone was telling me, like, Fortune Famester is hilarious. You're gonna love her. She's really, really good. Now, I thought she was pretty good. I thought she was funny. But I don't know that she lives up to the reputation that she's gotten as, like, one of these just hilarious comics. You know, it's a lot of self-deprecating humor. And what you when you're a big, fat girl, I could write 30 jokes tomorrow.
She does look like the kid from Bad Santa.
She does.
Yeah.
Good point, yeah.
I don't know. Tig Notaro can bring anyone down to me. I never think she's funny. I've listened to her in different formats, and she's just never funny to me. And I feel like she's one of those things, like everyone pretends they love the musical Hamilton. I think everyone pretends they like Tig Notaro.
I agree with you. I think she's anti-comedy. When Tig is on a show, it makes it less funny every
Definitely.
Time.
Definitely. No, you're absolutely right. That's it. That's interesting. I mean, that's almost a skill in a way, because that's hard to do.
Why do comics love her so much? Is it because... I mean, is it because she's the anti-comedian?
Politically correct to like her.
Yeah, I assumed it was because she was a lesbian, which is terrible. I hope I'm wrong. All right, do we have any more cuts?
No, I'm going to end it there. I'm going to show some mercy since I'm going to see you guys in a couple of weeks. I don't want you too upset with me.
We're going to see you in a week, Carl, just about a week, right here. And it'll be interesting to have you in the show doing our stuff. That'll be fun. And you can bring another podcast, which we can wonder whether we'll enjoy or not, to the table. We can do it a week early or out of sequence or whatever. Or we can just do our show, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to being in studio.
Yeah, and so much going on next week.
Bentley's going to be there. That's going to suck. But other than that, it should be great.
And there's Tigers games. There's Michigan games. There's all kinds of partying to do in Royal Oak and Ferndale. So, no, it's going to be great having you guys around. Who all is going to be here? Well, how big is the crew?
Oh, my gosh. It's every single person. So we're going to come with Vinny Paulino, Trucker Andy, Jenny Jingles. Who else from our show?
Producer Chris.
Dr. Steve is coming, isn't he?
Dr. Steve, producer Chris. Lucy Tightbox is coming with us.
Oh, my.
Eric Zane coming up. We got, I think that's pretty much everyone Tukey. Right there.
Tukey.
Tukey's coming. Tukey's coming.
Wow. Excellent. No Blind Mike. I was disappointed.
Well, Blind Mike is going out to Vegas for the Legion of Skank Fest.
Oh.
So he will to do both things.
Oh, what's the Skank Fest?
Oh, Skank Fest is this crazy festival that they put on, Luis J. Gomez puts on, where it's all these comedians and podcasts, and they just do live shows all day, all night in various venues in Vegas.
Oh, wow. Well, that sounds like fun. But we're going to have a ball here. Trust me. No, it's going to be great.
I should mention Thursday night, we'll probably go out. We'll meet up with people. So I'll tweet it out. We'll put it in our Discord server. So people are in town or they already live there and they want to hang out, look for that. We'll be hanging out Thursday night and then Friday night's the show.
Yeah, awesome. We should give a venue as soon as possible. Cause people, I don't know why it just sinks in their head. The sooner, the faster, the better. But I know it was Oak City last year, but there's lots of options.
Okay. I did enjoy Royal Oak. So maybe we'll go back up there again, but you guys tell me.
Yeah, no, Oak City is a great place. There's plenty of space there, and no, that'd be great. It's pretty. Royal Oak's very convenient for everybody too. If I think of something else between now and then,
mainly you.
yeah, well, it's pretty convenient for you too.
Yeah, I got to work though, but yeah.
Not so much for Brandon.
Yeah, but, whatever. I'll be there anyway.
What you have to work on a? Will that be Thursday? Oh yeah, Thursday. That's right. Well, you're not working all night.
I'll be there.
You'll be on your way home. You're coming to Brandon?
Oh, good. Of course.
Okay, cool. All right, Carl, looking forward to it.
Yes, definitely, guys. I'm really looking forward to it because the last time we were in Ferndale, we had a blast. And so we're spending extra time this time around because we had so much fun. It's going to be a little bit, it's a lot of work, but somewhat a vacation for me as well.
And we had a killer crowd at the show last year, too. God, that was a great night. It really was. So I'm looking forward to more of the same. So we'll see you in a week, Carl.
All right, see you.
Later. All right, see you.
WATP.